Or we want to do this?
Could you, like, make an announcement that we're ready?
It's the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Wednesday. It's the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone and on 1620thezone.com. Connor Happer, Josh Odson with you. Happy Paul Skeens Day in the metro area.
Today's the day, everybody. Today's the day.
Muscle milks for everyone. Muscle milks and honey.
Just a round of muscle milks for everyone.
That's right. Remember last year after we did that whole thing, I think it was Hockey Dad who brought us some muscle milks and honey.
Sure was.
And then we slammed those suckers for the bit, which we love.
We love a good bit.
We did it in honor of the great Paul Skeens, who has once again made his return to the greater Omaha metro area today to pitch at Werner Park in like 30 minutes. We'll watch along. We'll see what's going on out there. And we'll pay attention to some other things that are going on. Robin Washut will join the show at the top of the hour. We'll talk about Nebraska basketball's portal goings, comings and goings, I suppose. Mostly comings, I guess, at this point. Mitch Sherman will join us at the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour. And the tweet bag is open for you at noon. It is Wednesday after all, Josh.
People forget.
The tweet bag is open at Happer Show on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed or anywhere else you'd like to get in touch with the show. That is the lineup powered by the Rooferees at John Higgins Weather Guard. Want to hear from you, 402-951-1620 on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline. You can call or text that number. Mention Twitter already. Email Connor or Josh O at 1620thezone.com on the Equitable Bank inbox. My wife said to me, she said, I can't believe people email you. And I said, I can't either. But it's just something that happens.
Hey, you're sitting at your desk. You got your buds in. You're listening to the show. You just tip, tip, click, clack away.
That's why we give you guys all the possibilities. We are omnipresent. We are everywhere. Wherever you could find us, we are there.
Desperate for your attention.
That's, yeah, extremely, extremely. And speaking of places that we are, YouTube, 1620 The Zone TV, or conveniently located, just a click away at 1620thezone.com, where Headley has a take this morning on YouTube.
Morning, Headley.
Ham is prison food, he says.
Not a terrible take.
I mean, ham probably is prison food, along with a lot of other meats.
Bread. Water.
Yeah. I mean, there's chip. Have you ever had prison chips?
I did not get to try them when you guys...
We've done this here?
You had some.
Yeah, that was a whole...
Or you talked about it. I can't remember.
That was a whole bit on... Because when Schaefer and I were doing a show together, we were on this quest to find like the best chip or something like that, the best lesser known chip. And somebody said, hey, I actually heard from a friend, maybe it was the person, I can't remember. Yeah, I heard from a friend that the chips in prison are very good. And so we got our hands on prison chips, and they were very, very salty.
Sure.
Extremely salty. I actually did not love the prison chips.
Oh, really?
That much. No. They were... I'm glad I tried the prison chips to get a taste. Mm-hmm. But, nah, didn't really enjoy them that much. So, yeah, we did that. Charles says fried Spam is the underrated breakfast meat. Could be.
I'm intrigued.
Could be. We're here for all the alley-oops as far as the food is concerned. Elsewhere on the show today, we'll talk about Trev Alberts doing Trev Alberts things. Just doing what he does, baby. Straight out of the Trev Alberts book of athletic directing.
Texas A&M cut football?
Close.
Oh, okay.
They cut many other seemingly unnecessary things, but in this case it was a lot of people. Definitely has nothing to do with Jimbo Fisher's $1 billion buyout that they still have to pay for.
Okay.
So there is that Trev had to inherit at Texas A&M. We'll get into that. Midweek baseball. We got to have a conversation about midweek baseball around here. Nebraska goes down to Kansas last night in relatively ugly fashion. Creighton pulls off another top 25 win in their home yard. They are the midweek World Series champs, it appears. So I'd like to have a conversation about what we're seeing here. The question always comes up is like, does Nebraska care about the Creighton game? Does Nebraska care about the midweek? It's not, trust me when I tell you, once again, we'll get into this, but it's not about care. It's actually, there's actually a very real reason that things turn out this way, and it's right there in front of your faces. So I will explain it to you during the show.
Oh,
like,
please,
you're all children,
thank you.
Like little tiny babies. Here's the deal. All right, let me tell you. We'll meet an LSU fan named Corey, who just took in a baseball game last night and had something special happen to him.
Good, good.
All right. We will a quick note on Creighton's basketball schedule next year. Kansas is coming to town.
Hello.
Jays Live is going to be hot, hot, hot. Could it be that Kansas and Nebraska come to the Chi in the same week?
Whoa.
Could it be?
Whoa.
Could it be? We'll get dates on that as we go along. Dylan Edwards in the portal. Is Nebraska a player? And could that make our Colorado game even nastier? Nasty boy.
We're doing the nasty.
It's going to be nasty. It's going to be nasty. Other goings on in the portal. Nebraska took another guy yesterday, an in-stater from out west, western Nebraska. Check in with Marcus Satterfield and Jinxes. Reggie Bush got his Heisman back.
Wonderful news.
It is. He remember, he had his Heisman taken away for what we now know as NIL. So they're like, okay, I think we can give it back now.
So I'm just shocked they did it.
Me too.
And
it feels like the moment had passed.
Uh-huh. And second of all, they're going to make a big deal about this on the Heisman House commercials.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I'm excited.
Yeah. One more thing on ham. John writes in on the Equitable Bank inbox.
Hi, John.
You guys need to back off on your ham takes. I love a big bone-in smoked ham.
Oh, no. I like ham like that.
I think we're talking about little tiny diced up pieces of processed ham.
Processed cubed ham.
Yeah, that's the breakfast meat that I'm thinking of. But there is, just like there is such thing as good pancakes, there is such thing as good ham.
My mom makes an excellent ham.
As well. There's only so much you could do with it. You're limited. But yeah, I'm okay with ham. It's not my preferred breakfast meat, but I'm fine with it. If it's there, I have no problem with it. Just like it was very present in my breakfast taquito this morning.
Headley says that guy probably sent that email from prison.
Headley's really big on the ham is prison food thing here this morning. Okay, let's have a conversation, actually, just before we move anywhere else. Once again, Robin will join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk about some basketball and football things with him. Let's have a conversation about midweek baseball here on the Connor Happer Show, all right? I need to explain something to you guys.
Gather round, children.
So Creighton baseball continues to destroy midweek competition. They took down number 19 Coastal Carolina last night at home. It's a big win for them. I wonder if they can really have their resume basically solely based on a whole bunch of top 25 midweek wins, which is why tonight would, I think, go a long way with them. You're going to have to hold up your end of the bargain, at least in the Big East. But, you know, if you make that field, if you make that tournament, which, I mean, Creighton's actually, they're not pacing to do at this moment. Hopefully they can get some more series wins down the stretch here. That can be an at-large team based on what you've accomplished in the midweek. So it's not a and then Nebraska loses last night to Kansas at home, and their midweek struggles continue. And those teams, of course, play each other in the midweek from time to time, and everyone will ask, and they'll play each other 6 days again from today. And you could hear it on 1620 The Zone with me and John. We'll be yelling. We'll be having a competition to see who yells louder.
The baseball boys.
The baseball boys. All right, so they'll play each other in the midweek, and then all the Nebraska fans afterwards will be like, hey, so what's the deal here? Like, why can't they figure this out? And do they care? Does Creighton care more about the rivalry? Does Nebraska not care about me? Listen to yourself. You sound like an SEC football fan trying to play a bowl game against Northwestern. Of course you care. You're playing the game. You play to win the game. You care. It's not about level of care. So let's just throw that out the window right now. It's all about pitching, baby. It's all about pitching. And like I said in the crossover, it's college baseball, so you got a couple arms that you trust, and they are saving all their bullets for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because those are your conference series, and you aim to win your conference. So Tuesdays and Wednesdays, you kind of have to piece it together. And so let me, like, you know, we kind of spell this out a little bit more. Creighton lost their Friday starter, Dominic Cancellieri. He is, I think, going to miss the rest of the year at this point. So we'll, I guess we'll kind of keep an eye on that, but haven't heard any updates in a while on that one. But I think they're preparing to kind of move forward without him. And so they live in a constant state of, like, piecing it together on the weekend. And thus, their conference record is 4-5 right now, and they've lost a couple series in the Big East. And then they get to Tuesday and Wednesday, and Tuesday and Wednesday is always about piecing it together. And you always, like, can we get 6 outs from this guy? Can we get 9 outs from this guy? If we're really, really, really lucky, can we get 12 outs from a guy on a Tuesday or a Wednesday? I'm talking about northern schools. I'm talking about, you know, basically everybody that's down the SEC or like the Sun Belt or something like that, that has really outstanding draft-worthy pitching kind of just all across the board. And so that's how you kind of, you know, you get a couple arms that you trust, and then it is this constant state of flux and roller coastering throughout the season. Is Drew Christo good? Is Drew Christo bad? You're never going to know because he's one of the arms that they don't trust. Maybe if you're lucky one day, you can get like 50 good pitches out of him, and then you can, you know, you can piece together a win based off of that. If you set it up like he did last night, maybe not so much. So you're riding that roller coaster. Whoever's hot right now, all right, find me a way to get 9 outs tonight. Find me a way to get 6 outs tonight. Find me a way to get 3 outs tonight. So I think there's something to Creighton where they're a group that they're kind of comfortable piecing it together from a pitching standpoint. They don't have an arm that's definitively better than all of their other arms at this point. They have their back end of the bullpen guys that they can use both on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, maybe 2 out of the 3 on the weekend, or maybe 1 out of the 2 in the midweek. You know, you pitch twice a week or something like that with the back end of the bullpen guys, and you find wins wherever you can. They have those guys elsewhere. Who's starting the game? I don't know. You know, you get into a little bit of a comfortable spot. You know, it's like, okay, we're gonna throw out Shea Wendt just because we're kind of used to it. And then maybe Cade Lumel could give us 3 innings tonight. And he did. He was really, really good. Maybe Cade Lumel will give you 3 outs. Maybe Cade Lumel will give you 1 out. You know, but you have to kind of read that on the fly as it's coming at you. So I think that group is sort of comfortable piecing it together from a pitching standpoint in the midweek. I think most teams aren't. Most teams kind of have a plan. You get some level of consistency throughout the week and the weekend. So Creighton feels comfortable in it. And looking forward, it may be advantageous to them if they get deep into a tournament somewhere. But you got to make the tournament. Right, you have to make the NCAA tournament. You have to make the Big East tournament. But by that third and fourth day, you find, we might be able to get one of these freshmen who's got some talent to give us a really, really quality start. Like that's how postseason runs for Northern teams are born. That's the exact DNA of a postseason run for a Northern team. Also, if you're Nebraska, stop walking people. If you want to win midweek games, you want to win any game, stop walking people.
There's
that piece of it too. And so for Creighton, like there's this fact that you don't have the front end guys that you can trust, and that's their conference record. So Nebraska and Creighton, not in the approach, but in the application, is just the opposite. They're just opposite of each other at this point. Creighton does not feel good about what it has in the weekend. Nebraska does because they have a great Friday starter. Creighton feels like they can piece together innings throughout the week, and that just might be that might have to be their MO this year. Personally, if you're asking like which team has a better opportunity to go deeper into a tournament type of setting, or have a better season overall, I prefer the weekend being all cinched up, right? Friday guy against Friday guy. I don't want to go into the weekend thinking that I'm gonna be playing from a 2-0 hole all Friday. And I'm just trying to piece it, and I'm just trying to find it. I'm just trying to find it the entire weekend. But maybe you can get, like for Creighton, maybe you can get into the field of 64 just off of what you've done in the midweek. It will be a really odd resume if we continue down this road. So just to make it clear, it's not about care. It's not about approach. It's about the literal application of how many pitchers, the functionality, how many pitchers do you have and how do you use them and where do you use them? It's not what do you value, like everybody's trying to win every game every night. That's how it works. But it's also about what do you have and where do you want to go with it. So and how can you adjust on the fly, and can you get young guys to give you something that you didn't expect? You know, Creighton, it, from a pitching perspective, is always prepared for the worst at this moment. So they kind of live in a world where everything's really hard for them. And if they get a night where, you know, Cade Lummel did what he did last night, then they're going to have a chance to beat anybody who they play because it's Tuesday and Wednesday, and nobody else is really comfortable in that environment. Does that make sense?
It does, Connor.
Okay. College baseball pitching is hard.
Very.
College baseball pitching is hard. Not all these guys are good, right? I hate to say that, but that's definitely the case.
Look at how hard your favorite Major League Baseball team struggles to find five guys who can go five innings.
This is a
six.
Newfound revelation, Josh. Yes. I will remind you, they were very good for the first couple weeks of the season. Things have fallen off a little bit. Now they can't get a pitcher to throw six innings any night. Those are Major League starters.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Braves had Max Fried throw a complete game shutout last night.
Some teams that aren't named the Braves have to just piece it together. I will remind you that the Braves lost Spencer Strider. Josh,
have you
forgotten that the Braves
lost
Spencer Strider?
Reminded on a daily basis.
When you don't have Max Fried, then you might have to just kind of figure it out. Mm-hmm. That's the story. It's not about who cares and who doesn't care. Don't give me that. It's not your choice.
Right.
You know, this is just what rosters look like.
They don't grow on trees.
They do not grow on trees. To the phones. 42 Degrees Source Hotline. Here is Doug. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, guys. A question about baseball and pitching. Why do pitchers, when they make a change, get warm-up pitches on the mound? Isn't that something they're doing already in the bullpen?
Yeah, it's like it's both the functionality of warming up, but it's also getting a feel for the environment, and the mound may be slightly different or whatever. You know, getting, it's good to be somewhere before you actually have to play in it.
Well, I get that, but isn't that could be like a solvable problem? Like the bullpen could mimic the mound. You know, they could do that, and then like there's no other sport where you sub in the quarterback and he's going to get a couple throws first. You know. He basically just has to go with it. I mean, it seems like, especially what you're describing, all the changes they make, it's just like, okay, now we got to sit here for this guy throws another, you know, four or five pitches.
Wait, Doug. So this is not a problem that I've really ever thought about. Do you get angry when you watch pitchers throw warm up pitches?
Yes, because I think they were just doing that in the bullpen. You know, why do they need to come on the mound? I get the mound could be different, but solve that problem. Make the mounds in the bullpen identical.
They're supposed to be, but it's also the surroundings and with everybody watching you and all that stuff. Like I guess I've never given it second thought of like, why do pitchers throw more warm-up pitches? It's just kind of, it's built into the cake of a baseball game.
Well, I know. It makes, especially when you're changing, you know, five, six pitchers, then that just adds another 30 minutes to your game while you go. But I can't change the rules. But I did have one other comment. I really enjoyed listening to baseball on the radio. I like it. I like being at the game, but that's probably second. But I just like listening to the radio because, you know, good announcers, you know, they talk about other things, and I can do some yard work with my headphones on or, you know, do whatever. At least there is watching baseball on TV, but I still do that with some of my teams. But anyway,
nothing like it, Doug. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We love baseball on the radio, especially considering we are a radio station.
Was that young Nick in disguise?
Maybe. I never really considered that before. I never really considered that as an optional thing. Like, I suppose the pitcher, if he wanted to, could just wave the warm-up pitches after his jog in from the bullpen. He'd just already warmed up. He'd just be like, yeah, let's just get out there. And
how badass a move would that be?
Throw
just,
it.
No warm-ups. Let's go.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Play ball, Blue.
Yeah. Josh, I've never thought about that problem. I don't consider it a problem, for the record.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But it's definitely mildly annoying.
It's part of it. Yeah, sure. It would shave a few
as
minutes
a fan,
off here.
As
especially
a fan.
In college baseball where you're having five or six pitchers.
Texter Alex in Lincoln writes in.
Hi, Alex.
Wild take. Pitchers shouldn't warm up on the mound. He kind of blew my mind. I never really thought about that before.
It would add a different element. What if you get him on those first five or six pitches and you crank one out of the park?
But he's all exhausted because, you know, pitchers don't do anything. They don't move, and they're horrible athletes. Mm-hmm. So you have to jog all the way in from the bullpen.
Odds are they're drunk or high, like,
yeah,
David Wells.
I had done ripping a couple heaters in the bullpen. By the way, there was a small fire in the Storm Chasers bullpen yesterday, I think.
Whoa.
You know, some baseball players, when they're not playing in the baseball game, they like to kind of screw around.
A little hot foot action.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Amazing.
Little hot foot. I told you my story about the guy that we had an encounter with when I was a kid at the Omaha Royals game down in the bullpen down the line, right?
This rings a bell.
Yeah.
I don't recall everything, though.
Yeah, so, you know, we were just a bunch of kids and, you know, started, for whatever reason, the thing at the time was like to make the Spider-Man noise. Pss, pss, pss. So we were just doing that to this guy. And, you know, I don't think he liked it very much. And then he lit like a paper towel or something like that, or a piece of newspaper on fire in the bullpen. And there was like clearly a flame and some smoke coming out of the bullpen. And we were sitting right next to it. And he started pointing at us. He was like, it was these guys. Kick them out. We're like 13-year-old kids. He wanted this kicked out of the game, so he started a fire.
Incredible.
Baseball players have a lot of time on their hands.
They do.
A lot of time on their hands. It's also a mental, a mental adjustment. Like, I just got done lighting stuff on fire. Now I'm actually in the baseball game. No more time for lighting stuff on fire. It's time for me to throw pitches. So I think that's what the warm-up pitches are for.
Time to go to work.
What was his second question, by the way? He totally threw me off with the first question.
Oh, yeah. No warm-up pitches. And then he liked baseball on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Great take. So weird take followed by awesome take. We love baseball on the radio. You can listen to baseball on the radio tonight.
Tonight.
With Creighton in Coastal Carolina. This weekend when Creighton hosts Georgetown, and then next Tuesday when Creighton hosts Nebraska.
That's a lot of baseball.
That's a lot of baseball. John Bishop will be there yelling for all of it with various different side pieces. Mm-hmm. Nick tonight, Sindelar over the weekend, and myself on Tuesday.
Connor Happer, side piece.
That's exactly right. Charles says, I agree that baseball on the radio is awesome.
A lot of people seeing the light.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate this, by the way. It feels very good. Listen to baseball on the radio with us here in the either 1180 The Zone or 1620 The Zone. Okay, now that we got that taken care of. By the way, there was one comment, I think, that was actually about the conversation that we were having regarding pitchers, but now I lost it because we got sidetracked by the other stuff. But thank you.
As we tend to do.
Yeah. All right. Robin Washington is next. We'll talk about basketball with him, the transfer portal, and maybe a little football as well. Robin's on the other side on 1620 The Zone.
The Connor Happer Show. Follow us on Twitter at Happer Show for all the latest news and views. We may even say something interesting once in a while.
Unlikely.
Really, guys?